Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
That's right. We need some help. We'd like to welcome you for this upcoming new year, 2020, to Missing Pages of History Radio. This is MPH Radio, and we are happy to be back on the airways. We've been in the processing, updating, and making some changes in our formats and our upcoming work that will take place for 2020 and beyond. We'd like to thank all our listening patients and supporters for standing by and supporting our program organization. And like always, Missing Pages of History Radio program, or as we say, MPH Radio, is geared towards helping to uplift the underserved communities. So on that note, like always, as the voice of MPH, we'd like to say Happy New Year to everyone and welcome everyone back. And for today's program, we'd like to just share with you that our theme today is African Women in the Struggle. That's right, African Women in the Struggle. We're going to talk about women who are in our communities, who are trying to do things to make our people better, to make our community better, and to make our world better. And like always, and many times in the history book, the women voices are left out, and what we want to do on MPH Radio is to correct the error and make sure that our sisters, they have a voice. So today, we'd like to get perspectives from the sisters who are in our community, who is in the struggle, trying to make the lives better for African people and all the humanities. So that is the focus for our program today, But like always, we're going to start off with first, we're going to talk a little bit about these something to think about as it relates to the concept of freedom. Then we'll follow, like always, with our Black Benefacts by Susie. And then when we come back, we invited some sisters who are in our community making our world better. And they will share their perspectives on some of the things that they are doing in their community and their struggle. So that's the order of the lineup for today. And right now what we're going to do is we're going to bring Susie in and we're going to talk a little bit about, no, before we bring Susie in, we want to do is talk a little bit about, to give you something to think about. You know, we often talk about all the time about the issue of what is freedom. And if we are struggling for freedom, we must have some kind of conception of what freedom is and what it looks like. So we just want to give you something to think about. Right now, there was a quote by Nelson Mandela, which was very interesting when he defined what freedom is to him. He made the statement that freedom is when a man is denied the right to live the life he believes in. He has no choice but become an outlaw. And that was a statement by Nelson Mandela when he was talking about it, his concept of freedom. Now let's take another concept of freedom. This one is by Amelia Earhart, which stated, "No borders, just horizon, only freedom." Now, what does that mean? Can you apply that in your world as we talk about freedom? And that was another statement that we are interested by Che, by Brother Che. He stated that we have no rights to believe that freedom can be won without struggle. That's right. Listen, he said that we have no right to believe that freedom can be won without struggle. So those are three definitions for freedom. Think about it. See how they tie into your world today. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to quickly pause for a quick station break, and I want you, when you come back, I want you to take notes, because we're going to talk a little bit about some of the contributions that African women have made and is making in their world. And this will be done by Susie, and she talk a little bit about our Black Benefacts. But we're going to pause for this call. When we come back, we're going to share with you a little bit about our Black history, our Black Benefacts, as it relates to this year, African History Month. We'll be right back. You are listening to Missing Pages of History Radio.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force and truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
I am still thirsty.
like to welcome you back to MPH Radio. For our break, we said we'll be going to our Black Media Facts for this month, African History Month. We are highlighting this particular program to African women. And right now, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in one of our members and contributors, Susie, and she's going to share with you some Black Media Facts as it relates to the history and contributions of African women. So right now, Susie, welcome to MPH Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Our Media Facts today will come from the Black Seeds 2020 calendar, which is a Black and educational calendar. Okay, the first person I'd like to highlight is Valerie Thomas. Thomas was a scientist and inventor who worked for NASA from 1964 to 1995 in various capacities. While there, she developed real-time computer data systems as well as managing various projects, including image processing systems. Her department spearheaded the development of the first satellite to send images from outer space. In 1980, she received a patent for an illusion transmitter, which she had been working on for 3 years. The illusion transmitter gives an optical illusion of a three-dimensional 3D image that looks real on the receiving end. This tech has been utilized in television and movie industry. Thomas is considered one of the most prominent Black inventors of the 20th century, and that was Ms. Valerie Thomas. The next one is Alice H. Parker. Parker developed an early concept of the modern home heating system fueled by natural gas. She was given a patent in December of 1919 for her design featuring zone heating using natural gas instead of wood or coal conserved energy, and was very similar to current systems. Her design was a result of feeling that her fireplace in the cold climate of New Jersey was not warming her home effectively. Her initial designs were not used, but her concept that natural gas and ductwork could be used was groundbreaking. Her receipt of a patent as a Black woman during that time was extremely unusual and an outstanding achievement. And that was Alice H. Parker. And last and final, I'd like to do Gladys West. In 1956, West became the second woman hired at the Naval Service Welfare Center in Virginia. West began to analyze data from satellites, putting together altimeter models of the Earth's shape. In the mid-1970s, West programmed computers to deliver precise calculations to model the shape of the Earth. To achieve extremely accurate information, she had to develop complex formulas to account for gravity and other forces that distort the shape of the Earth. She gathered data from satellites and made calculations that eventually led to the creation of the Global Positioning System, the GPS. Her work on the development of satellite models were eventually incorporated into the GPS system. And that's just three of our many women in history that have made contributions to the tech world. And once again, this is from the Black Seeds 2020 Black Historical and Educational Calendar.
We'd like to thank you, Susie, for that report on just some of the sisters who have historically made contributions to our people's struggle. And we're going to shortly be speaking to women who are making contributions to our people's struggle on a daily basis today. This is MPH Radio. We're going to pause quickly for a call. So when we come back, we have invited some sisters who are doing great work in our community and they can share with the listening world what they are doing in our community. and we're going to talk about that work, how we can support it, and why it's important. So we'll be right back with our invited guests in 2 minutes. You're going to listen to Missing Pages of History, MPH Radio.
On the move. Look, Living on the Front Line, while that was playing, I was reminiscing back to when I first heard it. Coming from a event there in Washington, and we was on the train, and that music started playing. There was a lot of us together, and we all started dancing because we was moving to the rhythm of Living on the Front Line and what it meant to us, you know. So thank you so much, and for having that particular selection right there. And of course, I'm Pam Africa. I'm Minister of Confrontation for the MOVE organization, and I want to let people know that our brother Chucky Africa, who was the last of the MOVE 9, I'm quite sure this audience, I don't know, I might have to go back into who's the MOVE 9 briefly, and I was just released after 41 and a half years in prison. And Chucky was one of, and you know, and this is the work that I've been doing. And in doing this work, let me tell you, in doing the work within the MOVE organization, and I came across a lot of good people, and you know, who, you know, aided me in the work, this journey that I had to go on, and to, you know, help free my people. Brother Lee was one, and, you know, you used to have us at your, the college that you was at. You brought us in to talk about the plight of my family and Mumia Abu-Jamal. I just want to thank you, and because my brother Chucky Africa, the last of the MOVE 9, has come home, and it's been a battle. And the reason why my brothers and sisters was in jail, 9 of them, and because of the battle against this system, and for years they had been because MOVE take a upfront stand and our demonstrations, you know, wherever it had to be back in the 70s, and we was arrested and thrown in jail. And these are all humane demonstrations, and dealing with, you know, unsafe boarding homes, dealing with the issue of people that was locked up inside the prisons, dealing with the air, the pollution in the air, the water, the soil, you know, the miseducation of all people in the, you know, within this government school system. You know, we demonstrated, you know, really hard. So we was locked up and are thrown in jail when they found out that, you know, part of our plan was to actually to expose the injustice of what was happening at these places. And their bosses had the cops come along, lock us up. Then we go before judges, went before judges, and who's also a part of this system, and all that, that, you know, they protect the corruptors. When we go before them to say, you know, why we were demonstrating at, you know, the zoo, number one, and because, you know, one of many, and because of the animals that are locked up in those cages in there. We have been taught for years to think that these things was, you know, nice to look at, until John Africa, I heard his teachings where he compared that to these monsters, you know, and, you know, for sake of, a, you know, another word, and, you know, to go over into Africa and, you know, and, you know, take the people from their homes, take our people from their homes and things, and bring them over here and sell them off as slaves, and, you know, and when they go over into Africa and pull them lions, you know, out from there, or go over into India and grab, you know, other forms of life and bring them and put them on these auctions where people bid for them, and all, because that's what they do at these zoos as well. And the only difference is they lock these people, these forms of life is locked up for the rest of their lives. And, you know, this is what they did to Africans, so we were showing the, you know, the same, you know, humanity for one have got to be extended for others, but that cut into their money scheme. And, you know, what happened, and, you know, they would lock us, beat us up. We go before the courts and say why we were there putting out information, and they always ruled on the other side. And, you know, they would try to give us time. But it went all the way into political prisoners, unsafe housing. And my family was, you know, our house was eventually surrounded by police, And the police who came to our home, we didn't go to theirs. And they were strapped for war. We was at home. And they shot thousands of rounds of ammunition into our house. I'm trying to fast this up because we got 15 minutes. And, they tried to kill every man, woman, and child in the house, but a police officer was killed with the bullet shooting down in the back of his head when we were 6 feet below ground. But we were sentenced to, a cop was killed, and MOVE People were sentenced to 30 to 100 years in jail for the killing of this cop, who was shot with one bullet, but they charged 9 people. And they gave our family 30 to 100 years in jail. We had to, our family did 40 of the 30, past the 30 years part, but all MOVE People are coming home. It was said throughout the years that MOVE People will never come home. They would do, they would do all that time. They would all die in prison. But what I'm talking about is how my family came home, is that we had faith in the principal John Africa, who told us he was coming home, and they was coming home and told us what to do. They told us that we had to be consistent. And when people acted as if they didn't believe in, no matter what level that they were coming on, to tell us that our family would never be out there. And I'm telling you, they came on all levels. And, just give it up and, go do something else, like the same thing with Mumia Abu-Jamal, when they said he'll never, that these people going to execute him, just leave it alone. But through the power of the people, and we were able to bring him off of death row, and we're still fighting for his life, and we're closer now than we've ever been. But through dealing with the power of the people and understanding that, it takes all of us to be able to get what it is that we need, because it took people from every walk of life to be involved in this. And when people had to leave off for whatever reason they had, we had to stay consistent and keep right on moving. And through that time, we had people that was beating me myself. My leg was broke, head was split. I had teeth kicked down my throat. And, we had family members that was, they dropped a bomb on our home and, killed 11 men, women, and children. They beat our family inside the prison. The inmates in the prison said they had never seen anything like this. And they had, they brought outside forces in to attack my family inside the prison. I'm talking about, this is years of work, but my family is alive today. And because through this all, we was able to remain consistent and show people that this is not the, this is nothing unique that's happened to our family. They're doing this everywhere, and being able to pull people together to fight, because the beating, it was a horrific, what people can do is go to YouTube and pull up the August 8th confrontation between MOVE and RZA. And you'll see, what it is that I'm talking about. But the power that's in people is what John Africa taught us to do, and, pull all these people together. If politicians made a move in favor of what's going on with us, it was only through the power of the people, to get the power of the people to push them, to push judges, to push all that was wrong out of the way, and all, because it was easy to do because we had the truth with us. And at first, it was very few people, it was people who understood what was going on. And then, more people and more people and more people. And these people, because we remained firm to our convictions, that this government has got to go down, there was more and more people that was feeling that way, and it was people before us. We was all coming together, and in this battle, that's how my brothers and sisters came home. And, it was through the consistent push and going to places that we had never been before, and to get those things that we had never had before, and, and meeting people along the line. Brother Lee, oh, my God, I remember when I met you. And, it's just so many people that's along this journey that was helpful. and all, you know, and getting us to this point. But we couldn't have gotten to this point because, let me tell you, they didn't want to let them go. They said they'll never get out. That's why they gave them 30 to 100. You know, they murdered two of my brothers and sisters in jail. But let me tell you, as the last MOVE member got out of jail, and the position is the same. We have not changed. And, you know, we will stand by our belief. And there's other people inside them prisons that's just as innocent, you know, as my family is. There are people who backs that we all have stood on that's inside them prisons. Jamil Al-Amin, Sundiata Okoli, and, you know, and the list goes on and on and on of people who fought for us and to be able to do the things that we do now, political prisoners. You know, we owe it to them. Just because my family is out, all of them. We got Mumia Abu-Jamal in there. We have never stopped fighting
Sister
for
Phil.
Him, and not going to stop fighting now.
Yes, Sister Phil, could you just give our listening audience a brief update on the condition of Mumia, health-wise and political-wise, and, you know, what the future look like?
Okay, good. And when I went to see Mumia last week and 2 weeks before then, Mumia, I kept looking at him. I said, Mumia, wow, you'd really look good. And, you know, and that, you know, his health was looking good. And, but he's still having, you know, problems. And he's able to sleep at night, you know, now, you know, all the way through. That's why his face was looking, you know, as good as it was, because for the first time he was able to get sleep because of that itching from the hepatitis C. But, you know, where we're at now with Mumia case, and the district attorney here in Philadelphia, and we're going to definitely push up this campaign, can release Mumia today or tomorrow, dealing with judicial and prosecutorial misconduct. And he has just let, I believe the count is 11 different men out of prison, and, you know, dealing with judicial and prosecutorial misconduct. And I'm so glad that he did that, you know, and I'm so happy for the family that is now with their loved ones. And, you know, I'm having a problem with some people because Krasner has done some good things. But long before those cases, and you got a worldwide movement, it's the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And when a black judge by the name of Tucker and said that Mumia should have a he should be able to appeal his case, and you know, this progressive DA that they're pushing all around the United States, this DA here has been going, and black folks in Philadelphia has been pushing because he's been doing some good things, and you know, and again, I'm dealing with this case, you know, right here, and I got a lot of other ones, but I'm fully, you know, I know this case here, and you know, he can release Mumia based on judicial and prosecutorial misconduct. And, you know, we're asking people, because you want to know what people can do, demand. And we got the evidence also in how they tried to kill Mumia inside them prisons. And, you know, and that came out through a court case in Scranton before, I think the judge name was Marani or something like that. I'll get the right name. And but before his trial, before his when they had Mumia, you know, in court dealing with his health, and the whole plot was unfolding. We'll do that on another show because we got 15 minutes. And you know how that unfolded. So you know, you got a man that is innocent, proven innocent. You got evidence of them hiding the evidence. They found 11 boxes of, you know, after swearing in court that they had turned over all the evidence, they found 11 boxes with information that proved critical to the case, like the DA and all, who was one of his witnesses, was asking him, "Where's my money?" You know, the fact that, you know, the bullets, it's a lot, so much information that show that Mumia is innocent and show the prosecutorial and the judicial misconduct. I'm saying, do for Mumia what you did for the other 11.
Okay, don't that know, Sister
how
Pam,
people can help, I'm going to give my number.
Yeah, how can they help, get in contact with you? Would people like to invite y'all to come to their cities, their churches, their groups? How can they do that?
Okay. My number is 267-760-7344. And you can go to Mobilization for MOMIA. And there's also the Campaign to Bring MOMIA Home and the New York Coalition, you know, for MOMIA. And all these sites have the information, you know, on MOMIA. And, but if you want to get hold of me, again, my phone number is 267-760-7344. And that's Pam Africa. And I'm sorry if I was a little scattered in the beginning. And just there's a whole lot going on around me. So I'm more focused.
Let me just
right
ask
now.
You, Sister Pam, for communication purposes, if do you have any kind of email or repeat the website again where they can also maybe write you if they want to get in contact with you?
Okay, my email is
with
Pam Africa.
Dealing with an international audience, sometimes cheaper to do it by email. But go ahead.
Okay. Pam Africa. At gmail.com, spell Pam, P-A-M, Africa, A-F-R-I-C-A, at gmail.com. And that's how you can get me, you know, that particular way. Or you can text me, you know, 267-760-7344. And that's the best way.
And on that note, Sister Pam, we'd like to thank you for being a shining example for not only being in the struggle, but being a good symbolism for what it means to resist and fight against your oppression. You and all your comrades, your movement, and your people, we'd like to stay in touch, and please keep up updated on what's going on, because we want to make sure that the contribution and history that you are making to our people moving forward is not left out the missing pages of our history. We thank you again today for your contribution to your people,
thank
to
you.
The other struggles. All right, listen, audience, you listen to MPH Radio. What we're going to do right now, we're going to call for the pause. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue the discussion of African women in the struggle. And we're going to bring in our sister from Africa, Sister CMC. She has a very interesting program coming up for our community. You need to hear about this program and find out how you can support it. She's a sister in the struggle. She's trying to make our community, our people, humanity better. She can talk about the project that she's working on. She got an event coming up on the 29th of February and the 1st of March that can take place in Richmond, Virginia. We want to hear more about this event, and she can tell us about this. But we're going to do this when we come back from our break. Right now, you are listening to MPH Radio. We'll be right back.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than us a little kid. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a queen, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama. There ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they showed a young brother love, I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I sang it. I ain't guilty, cause even though I said it feels good putting money in your mailbox, paying rent when the rent.
We'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio. And yes, Brother Pop, we understand. We want our sister to know that they understand that we love them and we appreciate all that they have done and continue to do. This is why on this program today, our theme is Women in the Struggle. And since many are celebrating what they call African History Month or Black History Month, we want to make sure we'd like to make a small contribution to some of our sisters who are currently making a contribution to our people movements and to the well-being of all of humanity. And given the fact we are stating that right now, just to show our sisters that we understand, we have a sister who was born in Africa. She lives in the States right now, and she has a real, very, very important event coming up. We want the sister to talk a little bit about the event, what it means to our people, and why we should support it. And we want you to support it. So we want to make sure you learn about this event. And as we talk about Women in the Struggle, we bring to you right now our sister CMC. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Page of History. Welcome, Sister CMC, to MPH Radio.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. I'm from Africa. I'm from West Africa. And everybody knows the struggle African women have to face every single day over there, just to take care of their family. We almost don't have a voice, but, you know, things changed in the last 10 to 15 years because our daughter goes to school now, you know, they have a high education, and some come back to be like lawyers and all that. Things are changing a little bit, but we're still struggling every day. And I think broadly, you know, to bring me in, and it's not easy. It's not easy at all from here to Africa. And I'm not going to be too long on your radio because I didn't prepare myself to beginning. We have an event coming, and it's like a come together just to enjoy, you know, the African culture. And the name of the event is Nerwaya. Is in African language, it means wonderful, nice, something new. But this is our fourth annual, you know, event. And it's going to be on February 29, the 1st of March. And it's going to start like 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. for 2 days. You are welcome to come with your family, you know, your children, because we're going to have African dance, drum. We're going to have a fashion show. We're going to have a vendor. We're going to have a food. All this, you know, coming from the motherland. What I want to say is we're going to have some designer. I think they're going to talk on your radio if you have a little time. I'm talking about Mariam Couture. She's from Senegal. And we have Taz Honey and Universal Trade. These two people, one from United States and one from Africa. And they come together, and they're going to be on this show. And we have all the people from Cameroon and all the designers from here. And they're coming from Atlanta, Maryland, and D.C. And I think that's what I have to say. Thank you
again.
Sister,
let me ask you something based upon your experiences of living in the United States. And
yeah,
being
I forget
able to...
something. I forget something. We have a fundraising for orphan and widow. Yeah. I got to say that too. And she's going to come and talk about that too. She's coming from Africa. She's a doctor, Kabore Alice. She's going to be here for 1 week just for this event. Yes, go ahead, Brother Lee. I'm sorry.
Yes, sister, I'd like to get your experiences of how has it been in the struggle when it comes to Africans born in America willingly to want to participate and work with Africans born in Africa. what can we do to interact more with each other as we begin to count each other?
Yeah, it's a long process, you know, because we're not united. We don't know each other, and it's not easy. We have to come together and talk about the struggle from here, the struggle from Africa, and then we can come from there and see how things can go better. But we're not united. We don't know each other. Everybody stay on their own space, you know. But with this event, you know, we're going to pass, you know, a lot of information, and people can come together, sisters from here, brothers from here. And from there, we can do something better, you know, because people still struggle over there. I have an opportunity to be here 21 years, but I can tell it's not easy. It's not.
So your message to our brother and sister here, why is it important that we should support this event?
What is your question again? Sorry.
Speak to the African community here on why it's important for us to come and support the upcoming event that you're putting on in Richmond, Virginia.
We have to support each other because it's not too many African here. Because I used to live on other cities like New York and Washington, D.C. Over there, they're more, you know, together, and we have a lot of events like that. But Richmond, Virginia is different. You know, it's not too many people from Africa here, and they really don't come together. We're asking people to come out and support this, and then we can come together and help each other. That's what I'm trying to say, if I answer your question.
And I do understand, sister, your event is very pan-African. You're going to have Africans from all over the place, all
yes.
kinds of countries. Some of the countries, just share audience the nature of some of the countries and people will be coming and how they'll be able to see the diversity and the beautifulness of African culture and people. Who are some of the countries that will be a part of this whole makeup of this event?
Okay, we have people from Senegal. Nigeria, I'm going to have a representative talking about Nigeria, Liberia, Uganda, Niger, Burkina Faso, of course, Mali, and Kenya. All these people are going to be there, and, you know, they're going to talk about some struggle we have over there. We don't have a lot of time to talk, but everybody going to say something. And, Brother Lee, you in too.
Okay, and again,
yeah.
Sister, for folks who may be interested in vending, for folks who like to maybe send a donation to help out the cause,
who
they should contact, or how can they contact them? Talk a little bit
about
that.
Yeah, the contact is, my number is 804-319-0826. This is the number. On the flyer, we have all the number they can call, you know, but we still have some space for the vendor. And it's going to really be big, I'm telling you. And we still have some space, you know. It's like 75 for 8 by 8, 100 for 10 by 10. And we have local. We have like five vendors from here. And they're going to sell, you know, a lot of stuff. You really have to come and... Yeah.
One of the highlights of the event is the fashion show. Give us the time and details in terms of what day and time would that take place.
Okay, the fashion show gonna be on Saturday. The door be open 5 o'clock, and the dinner start at 6, and the fashion show start at 7. This is just on Saturday, but otherwise. The vendor is open to the public. You don't have to have a ticket to go, you know, buy whatever you want from Africa. I mean, it's open to the public. And this be like 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. It's 2 days event.
And the location of the event?
The location is 5514 Richmond, Henrico Turnpike, Richmond, Virginia, 23227.
Okay, but sister, I want you to stay on just a few more minutes. We got some people who might like to speak to you or say something about supporting
Africa. Oh, I have other people who want to speak to you, Mr. Lee.
Okay.
They're online. They just text me. They try to get in and talk about, I'm talking about those designers. They're online right now.
Okay, we're going to check them in.
Yeah.
We can see if we can check them in. If you want to call in and share some information on this event, and this question of African women's struggle, please call in at 818-337-0016. When you call in, please hit 1. When you hit 1, we will acknowledge your last 4 numbers. Okay, please hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last 4 numbers. And we have some people who have been waiting for a while who want to make some comments as relates to what may have been said in the subject today, African women in struggle. So we can go to the phone caller, 1459. Caller, your last 4 number is 1459. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. Yes, call your comments or question, 1459. Yes, call 1459. You can speak now. Hello, caller. You have any question or comments? Call 1459, your last 4 numbers. Okay, going once, going twice. We try to get caller 1459 to make a statement. We're going to have to move on. Okay, let's go to caller 3802. I believe this is my sister Empress, who we're going to have her coming on shortly. But yes, Sister Empress, based upon what you've heard so far, any comments you'd like to make?
Greetings, greetings. How's everyone today? Yes, this is Sister Empress Chi.
Yeah, how you doing,
Can
my
you
sister?
Hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Okay. I have to make it quick because I've been on for a while and I do have another appointment, but I wanted to greet everyone and also, of course, give thanks for those who have supported the original Million Woman March over these years. We have always continued to be on the move. I heard our sister Pam earlier, and Brother Lee, thank you for that, living on the front line. It brought back memories for me as well. I was a college student at Drexel University, and that was one of the first introductions for Philadelphia with us playing it on the radio station there. And so it just brings back a lot of memories. As a matter of fact, it was pretty much after 1978, the first MOVE consultation. And, of course, as Sister Pam mentioned, Brother Delbert is now home, so that means all of the MOVE family is home. But it is interesting because during, of course, 1979 and 1980, community folks were very active in making certain that the continuation of fighting for justice, you know, was out there. And, of course, that dissipated over the years in the Black community as Black folks began to be sold out and participate more in the political machinery that, of course, was to our demise as well. But it is a wonderful thing, of course, to hear that Brother Delbert is home and that all the MOVE family is home. But at any rate, this is Black History Month, African History Month, and, you know we deal with it every day. But there are some things that certainly are, you know, noteworthy, to say the least. And so with the Million Woman March, we feel we are one of those historical milestones and continue to be so, given the fact that we are now the first global movement for women and girls of African descent. I heard our sister come on a few moments ago and talked about the disconnect. And so what MWM as a universal movement is now really adamant about, it is connecting the Black dots. And that means one of our primary missions at this time is to make certain that our sisters in particular, our people in general, are able to, you know, really link together to a greater extent and to do so in a more productive manner. And so for the next 2 to 3 years, MWM will be issuing what we call its Black Print 2020. And this year, on October 25th, there's going to be a global day all over the world for women of African descent to stand together. We call it our Women in White. Our Women in White gather. This year's theme is again focusing on the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls worldwide. But this year, we literally begin to put in the kind of work that means lobbying, legislation, action plans, support services, and all of those things that are relevant to the eradication of all forms of violence and abuse. So here in the U.S., of course, we're looking at now an estimated 70,000 reported missing Black women and girls. We are now also hearing more about body parts that are starting to be of great concern, given the fact that here in Pennsylvania, it has now had its first successful uterus transplant, whereby a white woman has now had a baby by way of a transplant of a uterus. So this tends to be very concerning for us, given the fact, again, that kidnapping and missing Black women and girls is at a rate and a high that we must begin to pay closer attention to. And so these are just some of the primary issues that we're now focusing on. There are many, many more. Of course, right now, MWM, starting in Philadelphia, we are in the process of training women that are formerly incarcerated. We now have sewing classes available for them that starts in a few weeks. That's our first phase. It's going to get extended as we grow and develop. But for right now, there will be free sewing classes for women who are formerly incarcerated, Black women, African women. Also, those who are coming out of an abusive situation or are in an abusive situation and are trying to find a way out, they will be able to take these classes. These classes also include history and culture. So they will learn a skill, a trade, but they will also learn about Know Thyself. Again, that is one of several of our new programs that, again, represents us being now a movement. And also for girls 7 to 17, again, here in Philly, but we'll be in Detroit in a few weeks, as well as Chicago, because we are going nationwide. But here in Philly, we now have self-defense classes for young girls, 7 to 17. They are also free, and this will be for the next 50 weeks that they will be able to get a two-hour session that focuses on them being safer, more confident, and the development of their self-esteem, and hopefully to help any kind of prevention. Hopefully it will help any kind of possibility of an attack on an assault. So those are some of the things that the MWM Universal Movements is now doing. We're getting ready to do our Black Political Women's Conference that will take place in Vegas in November. I'm sorry, not in November. It's going to now be in July. It'll be before November, and again here, of course, in the U.S., there's going to be a major presidential election, and so we do not want to be in the position to be completely manipulated as it has been in the past year. So again, in July, we will hold our National Black Women's Political Convention. Of course, our regular annual Million Woman March commemoration will happen in October here in Philadelphia, Million Woman March week from October the 19th through the 25th. And if anyone wishes to join, support in any kind of way, of course, donations are always helpful because we've never had grants and corporate sponsoring. So our donations, our brothers and sisters making donations are very important for us. But they can reach us by emailing us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Donations can be sent by way of Cash App. And our Cash App ID is $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. And I forgot one major thing that's really important. We have launched the We Charge Genocide 21 Project. And there will be a major gathering in Washington, D.C. in September. That will begin the kickoff for our first million signatures that we will take to the United Nations starting in December of this year on or around International Human Rights Day, which will be December 10th. And our position is, after 400 years, the response has to be more than just resiliency. We're not having that. So in 2020, we say it's time for perfect vision and clarity. And the clarity is, we charge genocide. And we're not just talking about police and governmental terrorism. Of course, that's a major factor. But we're also talking about gentrification, inferior education, environmental racism, the water. People can't even drink water. Of course, in Flint, you not only can't drink the water, you can't even bathe in the water. You can't wash in the water. This is happening all over the country. And so we want the world to really see another side of the U.S., and we're going to bring it, and bring it quite real. So again, if anyone is interested in joining us, you can tune in to our radio program every Saturday night here on Blog Talk Radio. We're on at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, we are now in our 12th year straight. Straight Black Talk, no nonsense, all the way live every Saturday night, 10:30 p.m., www.blogtalkradio.com/EmpressChi. Our program is called New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. Brother Lee, thank you so much. Give my regards to my brother Haki, and hopefully I'll be joining you tomorrow for Africa on the Move.
Okay, Sister Empress, we'd like to thank you for being a good example of African women in the struggle, and continue doing the work that you're doing, and we just want to let you know that we appreciate the contributions that you are making to your people's daily struggle. We thank you and all the sisters. As we stated today, as we celebrate this month, we want to make sure our African women's contributions and appreciation are not left out. So, sisters, we thank you for today's program and your work as African women in the struggle. We thank you.
And thank you, my brother. Peace to you all.
All right, to my listening audience, if you have any views or comments, quickly, we have a few minutes. We're going to take your phone call. Please hit 1, and we will call off the last 4 numbers. As it relates to our theme, Women in Struggle, we have some callers who've been waiting for a while. Let's go to caller 6057. Caller 6057, welcome to MPH Radio. Your comments or questions as relates to today's program, Women in the Struggle. Welcome, caller.
Thanks for having me. Want to commend the sisters you've had on your program today for the work that they're doing on behalf of the struggle for the liberation of Africans worldwide. And I think this is very important because our enemy, keeps playing up the differences we have among ourselves. And we need to focus more on our similarities, the commonalities, and understand, our differences better, and that they do not divide us. That which unites us is greater than what our differences are. And I just wanted to commend the organizations that were represented today on this program for the work that they're doing to bring about a greater degree of African unity and to keep the work up.
All right, thank you, caller, for listening to today's program and your participation. And we're going to try to go to one more caller quickly. We go back, see if caller 1459, your last 4 numbers. If there's anything you'd like to say, caller 1459, welcome to Mr. Page's History Radio.
Hello?
Hello, yes, caller. Your question or comment,
yeah.
What would you like to share?
Hello,
yes,
this is Mariana.
Hello, Mariana. What is your question or comments?
No, I'm calling because I hear my sister, Maria. I do the fashion show with her. I'm the designer.
Oh, okay. Welcome, my sister. Talk about your work as a fashion designer.
Yeah, I'm the designer. I'm Mariam Couture, my name. That's Mariam Couture. I do sewing. I'm the tailor.
Okay, okay. What kind of designs or what kind of display can we expect when we come to the fashion show? What can people expect to see when they come and look at your designer? What do you think about when you do your designers? How are you able to create your kind of images when you're doing your design? What do you think about to allow you to be creative as you create your designs?
Okay, I'm gonna present again. I'm from Senegal. Yeah, I gonna do some design like the African. If you see that, you're gonna know is from Africa. Like the hair type, the design on the clothes, and the African map and everything, and the jewelry from Senegal. I make everything.
So if people want to have African attires and look really beautiful, we know we can come
to the program
and we can purchase some of your designers. Is that so?
Yeah, it's already so. It's like a hat. But it's going to be like African. You just, I'm going to sell that over there too. You just come and put it on your head. It's going to be like a hat, but it's from Senegal. It's the design from Senegal, the where we do the head tight.
Okay, excellent, excellent. All right, my sister, we'd like to thank you for the work that you're doing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call Sister Sim C. We're going to get her back and... We want her to go ahead, Sister CMC, again, make the announcement of the place, time of the event.
Okay. The event is on the 29th February and 1st of March 2020. And it be at 5114 Richmond Enrico Turnpike, Richmond, Virginia. 23227. If people don't know, it's across the street from the Azalea Flea Market. It's very easy to find the location. And it's going to be 10 a.m. to 6 a.m. for 2 days for the vendor. But the fashion show is only on Saturday. And the door is open at 5 p.m. The dinner starts at 6 p.m. and the fashion show starts at 7. And on this program, we're going to do a program because people have to see what's coming and who going to talk, all this stuff. Then we're going to have a program when you come to the door. And it's going to be a lot. Bring your children for the drum and the African dance. Yeah, you're going to be unique. Yeah, that's what I can say. And thank you again, Brother Lee, for the opportunity.
And we'd like to thank you and all of the sisters and people who have made this program possible. And we encourage everyone to come out to the event. We encourage everyone to support the various movements and the sisters who have been on this program. And what we're going to do right now in honor of African women in the struggle, we're going to pause for this call. So when we come back, we're going to make some closing remarks on how you can support MPH. So right there, we can pause for the calls, and we'll be right back. You got to listen to MPH Radio.
Show them all the beauty they possess.
like to welcome you back to MPH Radio. And today's theme has been African Women in the Struggle. We'd like to thank all our participants and supporters for tuning in today and listening to MPH Radio. And we'd like to just remind you that Missing Pages of History is a bi-weekly program, is a community program that seeks to uplift underserved community. We said Missing Pages of History is an organization that is dedicated to make sure that our history is not only learned and restored, but it is often recorded in all of the avenues as it relates to record history. Our history cannot be left out these history books. Because remember, without history, then you don't know who you are. So one of the gaps we're trying to fill as we talk about MPH is to make sure our history is properly recorded, documented, and be in our history books. Because we must tell our story. In telling our story, we'd like to just remind you that MPH can be supported by sending any donations in that you deserve, and we would like to, by sending to P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. We have devised a plan and a program of building MPH, and you can see this plan and program by going to our website, www.mphinc.org, and we will remind you now that this fall we have a live TV show that comes on Comcast, a bio radio station, 95.36, in the Richmond metropolitan area, where you can view it from 7:30 to 8:30, starting on August the 3rd. So make sure you put that down in your books that we'll be coming on live. Our live TV show will be August the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. on our channel, Comcast 95 and channel 36. As well as we'd like to have your support by supporting our first year fundraiser raffle drawing contest. Will take place on May the 16th. Our first one this year will be May the 16th. So if you want any tickets, to purchase any tickets, please feel free to contact us. So those are some of the things that we are doing. We're going to be doing some projects, special projects this summer that we will share with you. And we want to keep you abreast. Again, the best way of being abreast is you can email us at MissingPagesOfHistory1@yahoo.com or check our website at www.mphinc.org. Again, this radio program is a bi-weekly program. Tune in every Saturday at 1 p.m. to listen to Missing Pages History. So on that note, to our listening audience, friends, and supporters and contributors, we thank you and we would like to encourage you to not only come to support us, but more importantly, we have open membership where you can now come join and work with actively to help improve our underserved communities. Until next time, we'd like to thank you for listening to MPH and remind you that we must fill in our missing pages, because if we don't, who will? We hope that you continue to have a productive African or Black History Month and remind all of our communities that if we are organized, all things are possible. So, again, we'll see you in 2 weeks, and we thank you for listening to Missing Pages.